We're so happy to welcome you tonight, and we're encouraged by the presence of each and every one who's come. If you're a visitor tonight, we'd like for you to know how happy we are that you joined us here, and we'd like to encourage you to come back and be with us again. As was indicated in the announcements that was made earlier, this meeting will go on through Friday night, God permitting, and we'd like to encourage you to come back and join us again if you have opportunity to do so before the week ends. I've chosen as my text tonight, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. And in this passage, we find a parable spoken by Jesus that we might call the shepherd of the sheep. This is a passage that tells us a little bit about how Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep. But there may be many people that would not recognize that. Certainly in the days of Jesus, not everyone recognized that fact, and Jesus was revealing himself to those that would see him for the first time as the great Messiah, the shepherd of the sheep. Let's read together. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spake unto them. My friends, we certainly have an advantage tonight over these people that Jesus was speaking to, because verse 6 indicates that they understood not what things he spake. But with the help of the scriptures, with the help of the word of God, and over the course of time, because God has revealed all of his message to us, we are able to have an advantage. And we are able tonight to read this passage and know who it is that Jesus was speaking of here. I have three simple points to make tonight from this text. And the first one is that we must know the shepherd. This is an absolute imperative. We must come to know who the shepherd is, and we must come to know him and make him our shepherd. The shepherd is identified in the Word of God as the Messiah. If you will take your Bibles and care to read with me for just a moment from the Old Testament, we'll look at some passages that talk about the Good Shepherd and how he is identified. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read first of all from verses 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment." Now, if you will, in the same chapter, look down at verse 22, and read through verse 24 with me. The same writer continues on this theme about the good shepherd. He says, "Therefore will I save my flock," verse 22, "and they shall no longer be a prey. and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know, the interesting thing about finding this statement in one of these Old Testament books like Ezekiel is the realization that King David was long dead. The one we know as David, the second king of Israel, had already died long before these words were written. And so we know that the writer is talking about a new David, one who would come of the seed of David, one indeed who was destined to be the Messiah, the anointed of God. He would be the good shepherd of the sheep. Now let's turn a few chapters and look at Ezekiel 37 and notice some other things that will help us to identify who this one is. In Ezekiel 37, at verse 24, the same writer says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. These Old Testament passages are talking about the good prophet, the good shepherd that would come and be the leader of God's people, God's flock, God's sheep. And in the New Testament passage that we've read, we notice that Jesus is claiming to be this very one. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says that in verse 11 and in verse 14 of John chapter 10. And that's the most important thing that we could learn as we study this portion of the scripture about what Jesus was speaking to these people. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of these prophecies. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. There are many other passages, of course, that indicate that to us and tell us of that in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the Hebrew writer said, Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. The Hebrew writer is telling us that the good shepherd is none other than that one God raised from the dead and exalted to the position that he has in heaven. It is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, Peter says to his brethren, For ye were going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Notice the word shepherd here is capitalized. This is not just a normal shepherd of sheep, but this is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. This is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, as Peter spoke to those that were shepherds of sheep, elders in the church of the Lord, he wrote these words, And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, ye shall receive the crown of glory. So writing to shepherds or elders, bishops, those that were overseers in the church of the Lord, notice that Peter talks about someone who is the chief shepherd. They were not to lord it over the flock. The flock did not belong to them. They were elders and overseers of that local body of sheep, the flock of God. But the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7 and verse 17, the writer says, For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them unto fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, if you're following with me tonight from the readings of these verses, you will recognize right away that the Good Shepherd is the one that we are to know. And that Good Shepherd is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, we need to learn from this passage of Scripture in John chapter 10 that it is not enough to know the Shepherd. We must know or hear His voice. When we come to know the Shepherd, we will come to recognize or know His voice. Notice in verses 2 through 4, it says, "The sheep hear His voice." That's verse 3. The sheep hear His voice. In verse 4, they know His voice. Whose voice? The voice of the Shepherd, the one who is the Good Shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2, the writer says that these things that we have received from God have been given to us by the voice of His Son. The words of Jesus Christ have come to us today. We know that's the message of the New Testament. God in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But the Hebrew writer says, in these last days He has spoken unto us in His Son. I'm saying tonight that we must listen to the Son. We must hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, the Messiah, the Son of God, is the one to whom we look today and hear His voice. God has spoken unto us through Him. We consider passages like Matthew 17 and verse 5, where God said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him," identifying Jesus. And in Acts chapter 3, as Peter quotes from Moses in Old Testament times, he says, "This is the prophet that God has raised up like unto Moses." And he says, "To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you." We must hear the voice of Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we do know and believe that Thou art the Holy One of Israel." So what we are seeing is that we must know who the Shepherd is, first of all. And then secondly, we must listen or hear the voice of that Shepherd. We must hear what He says. Someone might be wondering, how can we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? And there are scriptures that tell us how it's possible for us to hear that. We hear the voice of the Shepherd as we hear the Word of God. Only in His Word, the Scriptures, can we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus promised that the apostles would be guided into all the truth. Jesus said, "I will bring to your remembrance everything that I have spoken unto you. You will be guided into all the truth, and will be able to be My witnesses." And so the apostles were going to guide people with the words of Jesus. When the apostles spoke and wrote, they were giving us the voice of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, the apostle Paul declares that this message that he and the other apostles declared was the message that had been revealed to them by God through the working of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message came to Paul and the other apostles. And when we read those things, we can have an understanding of that which was once a mystery. We can know what Jesus wants us to know when we hear the voice of Scripture. We know the voice of the Shepherd by hearing the Scriptures. Jesus says, "No man can come unto Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him." The idea is that God will bring us unto Jesus, that He will bring us unto Himself. And this is the means by which that takes place. It is written in the prophets, Jesus said, "They shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned cometh unto Me." What we're seeing tonight is that we must listen and that we must hear. And Jesus tells us that this is so important and serious, because this message that comes from him will be what will judge us in the last day. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, my friends, what we've seen thus far, very simply, are these two points. And that is, we must know the shepherd, and we must know or hear the voice of the shepherd. But the third point is so very significant as we continue to look at this text. The third point is that we must not know, or we must not hear, the voice of strangers. I want you to notice how very clearly Jesus tells us that in this text. As you look again at John chapter 10, look at what Jesus says in verse 5. The sheep of Jesus do not know the voice of strangers. In verse 8, he says, the sheep did not hear them. Who? The voice of strangers. The sheep would not respond to the voice of the stranger. Have you noticed this among animals? Many animals that men have tamed and made pets or farm animals certainly illustrate the point that Jesus is making here about the sheep. The sheep know the voice of their owner. They know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of one who feeds them and attends to them and cares for them, but they will not recognize the voice of a stranger. I'm sure most of you probably don't have sheep like we used to have when I was a boy on the farm. But you've had a dog, perhaps, or a cat. Or maybe whenever you were growing up, you've seen how this is true in regard to other farm animals. Maybe a calf. I had a calf years ago when I was a boy in 4-H. And that animal became so accustomed to me going into the stall every day and petting him and talking to him that he became accustomed to my voice. He would recognize me even before he could see me. That's the way it is with an animal who has someone that cares and guides and protects that animal. And so it is with sheep. We had sheep on the farm. I remember one day after high school, a friend of mine came home with me and he wanted to go out with me to feed the livestock that afternoon. We went out into the barn lot and I called to the sheep that were out in the pasture nearby, and they began to come to me. And my friend thought that was so wonderful that the sheep would respond to my voice. I'd show you what that was like tonight, but I'd scare somebody or wake somebody up, so I won't try that. And maybe if we get outside later on, you want me to call the sheep, I'll tell you how I did that. But the sheep were used to my voice, and they began to come when I called. They knew they were going to come into the barn lot, and I'd feed them, and they'd have the provisions that they were used to having at the end of every day. But here's something interesting. My friend decided that he would call the sheep. And when he began to call, the sheep stopped immediately. They heard the voice of a stranger and they were afraid. They did not know my friend. They could not trust my friend. And so they were reluctant to come until I continued to call them. But my friend realized that he could not call those sheep and expect them to respond. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you need to know who the good shepherd is. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I know my own and my own know me. We must know who the shepherd is, and we must hear his voice whenever he calls. But now Jesus is telling us we must not listen to the voice of the stranger. We must be able to distinguish between the voice of the good shepherd, Jesus, and the voice of the stranger. The sheep will not follow whenever they hear the stranger's voice. And you know, this has a very meaningful spiritual application that I want to share with you tonight. Some discordant teaching, some false teaching, some teaching that is not from Jesus will be clearly recognized by those that are a part of the flock of God. Those that are the sheep, those that make up the body or the church of the Lord, can recognize the difference between the teaching of the good shepherd and the teaching of a stranger. These strangers are false prophets, Jesus says, and they will lead us astray. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen to what Jesus says about these strangers. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." These men that teach things that are not found in the Word of God, they do not speak for Jesus, our Lord. God did not give them their message. They took their message from the teachings and doctrines of men. And they come like they are wearing the clothing of sheep. But Jesus says, inside you know that they are ravening wolves. Paul warned of this in Acts 20, verses 28 through 29. He says, "They are grievous wolves, then they shall enter in, not sparing the flock. They shall come among you," Paul says, "and they will not spare." They were going to take away the souls and the salvation of many of these people that should know better. When they hear the message of God, they're safe. When they hear the voice of the false prophet, then their souls are in danger. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John warns, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." But how can we know? John says, we know that not everyone who speaks, speaks for God. And John says the way we can know is to put them to the test. How do we put them to the test? We listen carefully to what they say. We weigh what they say with that which has been said by Jesus. You know, before you can tell that someone is not teaching what Jesus taught, you have to know what Jesus taught. Before you can know that which is genuine and true, you have to study it and understand it and take it into your heart. And when you do that, you'll be able to distinguish when you hear something that is not the truth and not of Jesus, you'll be able to identify it immediately. That's how we try the spirits and prove whether or not they speak of God. You know, they tell me that men that work for the Treasury Department know how to spot a counterfeit bill just almost immediately. I'm not sure that I would ever know. I may have passed counterfeit money in my life. I didn't do it intentionally. But it's not surprising that any number of us might have had a counterfeit bill at one time and then unknowingly passed that thinking that it was good. Would you know a counterfeit bill if someone handed it to you? Would you know a counterfeit 20 from a genuine 20? These men are experts at the detection of counterfeit bills. You know how they do it? They study the real $20 bill until they know it so well. The way it looks, the way it feels, the graphics that are on that bill, that whenever they see one that is so different from what they know so well, immediately they know it's a counterfeit bill. And Jesus is telling us that if we're listening to His voice, if we're hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, we're going to be able to recognize what is not the voice of Jesus, the teaching of the Word of God. These are the messages of the false prophet. But before we can do that, we must know the voice of the Good Shepherd. We must know the teaching of Jesus Christ. False prophets and what they will tell you. Let me illustrate tonight some things that come from the voice of strangers and not from the voice of Jesus. The voice of the stranger will tell people you don't have to be baptized. Perhaps there's someone in our audience tonight that comes from a church and you have someone there who's taught that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. My friend, if you ever heard anyone tell you that, you've heard the voice of the stranger and not the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's the voice of the shepherd. Whenever you hear the voice of Jesus, you hear Him talking about the need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you believe and you are baptized, Jesus says, you shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, it was Jesus giving the Holy Spirit that guided Peter to say to those men who wanted to know what they needed to do, Peter would say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Today, preachers say you don't have to be baptized. Peter says every one of you needs to be baptized. Now, which is the voice of the Good Shepherd and which is the voice of the stranger? We can tell when we listen to Jesus and His Word. Whenever we listen to the teaching of the Scripture, we can know the difference between the voice of the Good Shepherd and the voice of the error and false teaching of our day. Whenever you hear men today elevate other men with religious titles, you are not hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Whenever people today tell you that you need to address a religious man as father, or call someone who is supposed to be a universal bishop the Pope, you know you are not hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "Call no man father upon the earth." In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus taught against religious titles, titles of distinction, of honoring men and putting men on a pedestal. Jesus said, "The one that would be the greatest among you will be the one who humbles himself and becomes little in your sight." Jesus says, "Call no man father upon the earth." Of course, we have earthly fathers. We recognize we have an earthly father and an earthly mother. But in the sense of an elevated title to recognize someone religiously, there's only one God and Father. And He's the only one that we address as our Father. Sometimes people want to call me Reverend. It always makes me cringe. It always makes me want to say, "Don't you know what the Scriptures teach?" But a lot of people don't know, and it's because they've been taught wrong. And they've listened to the voice of strangers so long, and they think that somehow if you're a preacher, you ought to be called Reverend. And so I have this difficulty with my barber and other men who know that I preach, and they always want to say Reverend Dickey or Reverend Bob. And I have to tell them, I do not use that title. That is not a title that you should use to address me. You know, the only time the word reverend is ever found in our Bibles, it's not talking about a man. It's not talking about a teacher. It's not talking about a prophet of God. It's not talking about an apostle. It's not talking about someone who teaches the Word of God. It's talking about God Himself. And that's why I can't have that name applied to me. Holy and reverend is His name. Whose name? God's name. That's Psalm 111 and verse 9. My friends, if you mix with religious people that use these kinds of terms, you're listening to the voice of strangers, and you're not hearing the teaching of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. What will the stranger tell you? He'll say things like, "Sprinkling is acceptable. Sprinkling is proper and right if you want to be baptized." That's one of the scriptural ways that you can be baptized. If somebody has poured a little water over your head or sprinkled a little water on you, if you went through that kind of a ceremony in order to become a believer in Jesus Christ, then you've been baptized. But that's the voice of the stranger. That is not the voice of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Jesus Himself, it says in John 3 and verse 23, went to a certain place in the Jordan River and had John baptize him there. It says John was baptizing in that river, in that particular place, that passage says, because there was much water there. Doesn't take much water to be sprinkled or poured, but in order to be scripturally baptized like Jesus was, you have to go down into the water. In Acts chapter 8, whenever Philip baptized the Ethiopian treasurer, it says that not only the man being baptized, but the one who baptized him went down into the water. It says they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You see, in the New Testament, what Jesus taught is a burial and a resurrection. And as kindly as I know how to say it to you tonight, if you've had someone pour water on you or sprinkle water on you, you've never been buried and you've never been raised up to walk in newness of life. Baptism is a burial. Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4 says we are buried with Him by baptism and we're raised to walk in newness of life. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there are a lot of voices out there that you could hear. There are a lot of men that are teaching. But remember, Jesus said that there are many false prophets. And John tells us that many of these that teach error have gone out into the world, and you need to try them. And you need to be sure that they are speaking the message of God. How can you do that? Listen to the teaching of Jesus. Know the teaching of Jesus. And when you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, you'll be able to turn away and turn your ear away from the voice of the stranger. What else does the stranger say? The stranger today says, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Perhaps at the point of faith alone, you don't have to be baptized, and then they will teach you that once you're saved, you'll never be lost. Once saved, always saved. But you know, I never find Jesus teaching that. I never find the Lord instructing anyone that once they become a believer, they can never so sin as to be lost. The Apostle Paul certainly didn't know anything like that. Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you think tonight that it's possible that I might be lost? That someone who preaches the gospel like me could sin in such a way as to be lost? There are those who believe I could never be lost once I come to believe in Jesus. But Paul says, I know otherwise. I know that I have to fight against sin. I know that I have to keep my body in subjection, because even though I've preached to other people, I know I could be a castaway or rejected myself. Paul did not know this impossibility of apostasy. It was not taught until many years later. John Calvin and others made it a popular doctrine. And preachers today, false prophets today, those that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, they're teaching people, you are safe, you are secure, you cannot lose your salvation, you can never fall away. But my friends, it's the voice of the stranger. And the sheep who listen to Jesus and know His voice will not hear. They will not hear those words and they will not believe them. Paul said, but him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Doesn't sound like Paul thought it was impossible for someone to fall away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. You don't believe Paul? Listen to Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If it's impossible to fall away, why would Jesus say to these churches, these Christians of the first century time, that you need to be faithful unto death? If they were once saved and would always be saved, why would He have to warn them and teach them to be faithful, even up to the point that they might have to give their lives for the sake of the faith? You see, there were some of those that had left their first love, and there were those that had grown lukewarm, and Jesus was so sick of them, He would say, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There were those that had turned away and no longer walked with Him in garments of white. There were those that were so far removed from the truth, Jesus warned that He would come and remove their candlestick. And people can read those words and still they would rather hear the voice of the false teacher, the stranger, than to have the words of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We must not hear the voice of strangers. I'm illustrating these things because I think it will help us to see so many other areas of application. The voice of strangers says, join the church of your choice. One church is as good as another. But you never hear Jesus teaching anything like that. Jesus said, I will build my church, Matthew 16, 18. Paul would write of that church and say that God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. It is not Martin Luther's body. It is not a body that was started and belonged to John the Baptizer. It was not one that was founded by Mary Baker Eddy or Joseph Smith or any other man at any other point in time based upon some peculiar doctrine or some peculiar belief. It was the church that was established on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem about AD 33, and Jesus is the head of that church. God has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Only one body, only one head. You don't have a many-bodied head. Jesus is not the head over many, many bodies. That would certainly be a physical monstrosity if we had many, many bodies with one head. And we don't have many heads of one body. We have one head of one body. That's the teaching of the Good Shepherd. Paul would later say in Ephesians 4, 4 and 5, there is one body. Just as there is one Lord and one God and one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one hope. All of these things indicate the unique nature of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see the difference between the voice of the Good Shepherd and the voice of the stranger? The voice of the stranger today says homosexuality is not an evil. It is just an alternative lifestyle. It ought to be accepted. It ought to be tolerated. Even if you're not a homosexual, you ought to embrace those who are. We ought to let them in our churches. We ought to let them preach. We ought to accept people without any distinction whatsoever, no matter what their preference is as far as sexuality is concerned. I do not find that taught in my Bible. I never find Jesus or the prophets of God or the apostles of our Lord teaching that homosexuality is something that ought to be embraced or tolerated. Instead, in the Word of God, I find that these practice what is called vile affections. I find the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 saying that they that practice such things are worthy of death. I know these are not popular words today. I know what people would call me listening to what I preach when I preach what is found in the Bible. I know that whenever I read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, and 10, Paul describes these people as effeminate, as abusers of themselves with men, and he says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My friends, that's the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's the voice of God. That's the voice of Scripture. And if you hear another message, you're hearing the voice of strangers and not the voice of Jesus Christ our Lord. You could sum up a lot of things that strangers say today and false prophets teach today with the idea that you just go your own way, that you just choose for yourself, you decide for yourself what you want to believe, you decide for yourself where you want to go to church, and you just be your own guide and director. But anytime you hear that kind of philosophy, whether it's someone of the world or someone who stands in a pulpit like this one tonight, you know you're not hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. You're hearing the voice of a stranger. Jeremiah long ago said, O Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Even in the voice of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, we find our Savior saying, no man can serve two masters. You can't go your way and God's way. You can't listen to God and direct your own affairs. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and despise the other, or else he will hold the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and this world. You've got to choose. Jesus says there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and most people decide to go that way. And he says there's a narrow way with a difficult gate, a straitened way, difficult and hard. And he says, few there be that find it. It's that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Paul says that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you tonight, what about you? Who are you going to listen to? Whose voice are you going to hear? We've made three simple points tonight, and that is we must know who the Good Shepherd is. I hope tonight that when you leave, you'll say, I know that the Good Shepherd is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the anointed of God. That's the Messiah. That's the one who came to this earth, who was born as the beloved Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. I know that's Jesus. The second thing we've learned tonight is that we must know the Savior's voice. We must listen. We must hear what He says. The sheep know His voice and they follow Him. Tonight I hope you're listening to the Good Shepherd. I hope you're hearing the voice of Jesus. And thirdly tonight we've learned that we cannot hear, we cannot know the voice of strangers. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Put the spirits to the test, John says, and see whether they are of God. All you have to do is just hold up what they say in light of what you find in the Word of God. And you'll always be able to know what is the voice of the Good Shepherd and what is the voice of the stranger. When you hear Jesus about the means of salvation and how we find that salvation, you find these words of Scripture. Jesus says that we must hear. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned He says, cometh unto me. He says, we must believe, except you believe that I am He. Now, this is not Bob Dickey. This is not the Hillview Church of Christ that is saying this. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd. We're trying to hear the voice of the Savior tonight. What must I do to be saved? Jesus said, we must repent. In the words of the Savior Himself, He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says that we must confess that He is the Son of God. And when we do that, He'll confess us before the Father. If we deny Him, then He'll deny us. That's the promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, 32 and following. And Jesus says we must be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Maybe you've done those things. If you've done those things, the Bible says you're a child of God. You're one of the sheep. You're one of those that make up the flock of God. But the message of Scripture is once you become one of those sheep, once you become a follower of the Lamb, then you have to be faithful the rest of your life. And if you haven't done that, then tonight we hope you'll listen again to the voice of Jesus. We hope tonight that you'll be able to hear that gentle voice as it comes tonight. That voice that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus is calling. As we sing the invitation song, we hope you'll hear. And we hope you'll listen. We hope you'll obey while we stand and while we sing.